Well, good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Good. Welcome to WCC. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name's Marty. I'm the students pastor at Beaverton Christian Church, I get the privilege of working with middle school and high school students. And speaking of high schoolers, this morning in our parking lot, 75 high school students and 21 leaders circled up to pray and load up the buses to head to the Tenderloin District of San Francisco for a high school mission trip. So can we just take a minute and praise God for that and celebrate that? So good. You know, our vision here is to see people inspired to know, love, and follow Jesus. And whenever you see 75 high school students taking their next step in their relationship with Jesus to go on mission, you know that that's happening. So praise God for that. And who else but high schoolers would spend a beautiful day like this on a bus, right? So we want to pray for them this morning. Would you guys join me in praying for our time together and for these high schoolers and these leaders and for their trip? Let's start the morning in prayer. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence with us today. And Lord, thank you for all the amazing plans you have for our life. And God, we lift up this high school mission trip together. We are expecting great things, God. We pray for their unity as a team. We pray for strength and endurance for the leaders. And Lord, we pray for the impact that they're gonna have as they love people with the love of Jesus, the same way that you've shown love to them. They're gonna extend that out in the Tenderloin. And so God, we just pray a blessing on this trip from front to back. And Lord, we praise you for our time together. We pray that you would give us open hearts to all you would say to us this morning and where you would lead us. We love you. We trust you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, if you're new or just joining us or you need a refresher, we're in a series right now called Pure Wisdom. And in this series, what we've said is that wisdom is doing the right thing in the right way at the right time for the right reasons. And right off the bat, all of us would love to know what the right thing to do is and the right way to do it and the right timing and to make sure our hearts have the right motivation when going into it. I mean, how many of us when faced with a new career choice or in pursuing a relationship or raising kids or growing in our marriage would love to know what's the right thing to do in the right way in the right time for the right reasons, right? And that's because all of us want to grow in wisdom. And all of us need to grow in wisdom, whether we consider ourselves young and maybe inexperienced or we're further down the road and have some years and experience under our belt, we all need to grow in wisdom. And I know you might be thinking, if you feel capped out in the wisdom department, it's that phrase, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? To which I would say true if you're a dog, but not if you're a human made in the image and likeness of God, because God is always leading us into something new. He's always leading us into our best life. But to get there, we're gonna need to be teachable. Everybody say teachable. Teachable. That's where we're going this morning. We wanna grow to have teachable hearts. And to do that, we're gonna look in the book of Proverbs, and the verse is gonna be up on the screen. But Solomon in Proverbs 19, verses 20 through 21 puts it this way. He says, listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Being teachable. To be teachable means that you and I receive instruction and we apply wisdom. It means that we take on the mindset of a lifelong learner, where we're constantly growing, constantly moving into God's best for our life. Or as Solomon put it, we listen to advice, we accept discipline, and then we are counted among the wise. And this is really easy, right? We love being corrected, don't we? Yeah, we love to hear advice from other people, especially when it's different from what we were already doing or planning on doing, right? We love being told what to do. Actually, no, wrong, right? Not at all. In fact, my life, like yours, is probably filled with examples where instead of listening to advice and instruction and moving forward and applying that to our life, we rejected instruction. Maybe even only to hear the words later, I told you so, as we fall on our face, right? This happened to me. It's one of my earliest memories of a family vacation. We were in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And we always loved going there as a family. We'd go every summer, and there's a place there called the Penny Store. And it was this really fun candy shop. And so as a family, we were walking over to the Penny Store to get some candy. And I was looking up ahead, and my older brother, who I look up to and looked up to then and still do, he had this really cool walk going on where his jacket was like pulled down to his shoulders, and he had his hands in his pockets, and he kind of had this like lean going on as he was walking. And me being the younger brother, I immediately thought, I'm going to copy him. And so I did. I put my hands in my pockets. I pulled my jacket down to my shoulders. I started to walk with this crazy lean. No sooner that I did that than my parents called out and said, Marty, get your hands out of your pockets. Pull your jacket up, because if you fall, you're not going to be able to brace yourself and you're going to get hurt. So listen to wisdom, right? Pull your hands out of your pockets. But no, me, I had this down. I knew what I was doing. I was looking cool. So I kept on walking, took two more steps, tripped on the sidewalk, and luckily I braced my fall with my face, because I face planted into the concrete. And instead of spending that afternoon enjoying candy, right, I spent the afternoon in the ER getting asphalt scrubbed out of my forehead with a metal brush. It was awful. And I even got to go home with some stitches as a souvenir to remind me of the importance of listening to instruction, right? Listening to wisdom. If you're a parent or a guardian, you say amen, right? We know this to be true. We need wisdom. It's experiences like this that we all have that instill in us the value of having a teachable heart. The value of having a teachable heart. There's really three levels of being teachable that we all experience. This is kind of the pathway to teachability, if you will. And at different seasons of life, we'll find ourselves in one of these three. The first one is just to listen. It's the first step towards teachability, just to listen. This is where I was in my story. I was willing to listen to my parents. Now, I didn't do anything with what I heard, but I was at least willing to hear people out. And it's at this stage when we realize the truth that God created us with two ears and one mouth for a reason, right? We're supposed to listen more than we talk, or as James would say, be quick to listen, be slow to speak. Because if we're always the smartest person in the room, or we're always talking, we can never learn the wisdom that would lead us forward into God's best for our life. So this first stage is when we realize, hey, I don't know it all. There's gaps to my knowledge. There's some missing links in my understanding that wise people that God has placed in my life could fill in, right? To help me get to where God is leading me. We listen. And then once we listen, the second stage is to learn from what we hear. This is when we carefully listen intentionally with the mindset to apply or to learn from what we're hearing, right? We want to do something with what we're hearing. This is when maybe we even start seeking out advice from other people when it's not even offered, right? Because we realize there's something to be found in listening to the people around me that can enrich my life, that can cause me to grow, that can take my understanding to the next level. Sometimes at this learning stage, what we hear, it just affirms what we already believe. And other times it can be something new that we've never even thought. And this is the second stage of teachability. But the third is the most difficult, but it's the most important. And it's to live differently. It's to live differently because of what we've just heard. This is when we're not interested in hearing pure wisdom and nodding our head and taking some notes and then going and doing exactly what we were gonna do before, right? We listen and then we learn and then we change. If there's an action step to be taken, we take it. If there's a mindset that needs to shift, we shift. If there's a prejudice that needs to be let go of, we let go of it. If we need to lay aside folly, we lay aside folly and we embrace wisdom and we take the next step in life and in our relationship with God and in our families and in our marriages. And when we live differently, we start to see this is what it means to know what the right thing to do is and the right way to do it and the right timing for the right reasons. I'm now walking in this. And ultimately, when we listen, when we learn, and we live differently, we become people who are willing to follow wherever wisdom would lead us. If wisdom's leading us this direction, we go. We follow wherever wisdom leads because we know that pure wisdom is what we need. We learn something new. We recognize, as Proverbs 18:2 says, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. And we don't want to just air our own opinions all the time. We want to learn, we want to grow, we want to take our next step, we want to live differently, we want to follow wisdom. So what stops you and I from being teachable like this? What stops us from listening to the people around us who have wisdom that could help us get to where we want to be? What stops us from learning from the people around us, from living differently, even when we know we need to change? Well, in a word, pride. Pride stops us from taking our next step towards wisdom. Solomon in the book of Proverbs put it this way in chapter 26, verse 12. He says, "Do you see a person who's wise in their own eyes?" Well, that's pride. I'm wise in my own eyes. "There is more hope for a fool than for them." And this is where this message gets really personal for me, because they say, you know, you preach best what you need to learn most, and I need to learn this most. And that already sounds prideful, because it makes it sound like I just said, this is the best sermon I've ever preached, right? And you're like, that's pride. No, I need to learn this lesson because my life is filled with times where I was wise in my own eyes and I paid for it. When I was 15 years old, I had my permit. And I thought I was ready for life on the road. And the reason why is because I had been to the finest driving school in San Diego, which is where I'm from, born and raised, Southern California, San Diego. You're like, go back to California. No, I'm here now. Yes. But at Backers Driving School in San Diego, they didn't bother with like live teachers to teach you driver's ed. They relied on quality productions like Red Asphalt 5, which was a VHS tape. And if you're not familiar, let me fill you in. It was about an hour and a half long compilation video of the most horrific, gruesome accidents captured by the California Highway Patrol. And it was a scare tactic, right? To just scare you into driving safely. Like, this is what happens when you're a reckless driver, so don't do it. That was essentially the message of the video. But not only had I watched Red Asphalt volumes 1 through 5 on repeat multiple times in driving school, I also got to watch a video called Semi-Conscious Driver. And this was about the more subtle nuances of life on the road. Like how to keep your hands on 10 and 2 and look in your rearview mirrors every once in a while and check your blind spots. Or my favorite that I remember to this day, stay out of the no zone. In fact, it would be a sin if I didn't bless you with this little clip from the video. Check this out.
Jamie, pass this guy already.
Hey, guy, he's going close to the speed limit. It's 55 for trucks.
I mean, I know you're trying to be careful, but you gotta be careful about driving in his blind spots, too. Remember, no zones?
Oh, no, you're not gonna sing again, are you?
That's right, blind spots, no zones, you know where it's at.
Left side, right side, front and back.
Stay out of those no zones.
Keep in view, don't hang out in the no zones. Move on through.
Where are those no zones? Tell me where.
Left side, right side, front and rear.
No zones. Stay out of the no zones.
You guys. You guys, how many of you are ready to just pray and go home? You got everything you needed this morning. You're welcome. You guys, that's wisdom. Yeah. So good. So listen, between Red Asphalt 5 and the No Zone song, I had learned everything I needed to know about driving, you guys. My dad, however, disagreed because he was the one who was responsible for being in the car with his 15-year-old son while learning how to drive. Terrifying, right? And he didn't appreciate little things that I would do. Like when I'd pull up to a red light or a stop sign, I would wait till the very last minute to brake, right? And so he tried to instruct me and he tried everything. He even got 2 eggs and he put one on the dashboard and one underneath the brake pedal so that if I braked too hard, the eggs would crack and I'd have to clean it up, right? But it was an uphill battle of him instructing me and me saying, no, I got this, Dad. I got this, right? Famous last words. So fast forward a few months, I got my license, right? I passed the test somehow, and thank you, Backers. And I'm on the road, and I'm on the highway. I'm following a friend, and sure enough, I didn't leave enough space between me and the car in front of me, and they started to brake, and I started to brake, but it was too late, so I went into the other lane, but I didn't check the no zone. I didn't even check the no zone. And so I had to swerve out of the way again. I ended up spinning the car around and facing the opposite end of the road towards oncoming traffic. I was terrified. And in this moment, I went home and I told my dad, I am sorry for not listening to you. Thank you for trying to give me instruction. Next time I will listen, right? But my pride, me being wise in my own eyes, caused me to reject the counsel that would have helped me avoid the danger that lied ahead in my life. And this is what pride does. Listen, pride is the illusion that we are competent enough to run our own lives, that we can achieve our own sense of self-worth, and that we can find meaning and purpose without God, without instruction, without the people around us, that we have what it takes alone, that we don't need God, we don't need instruction. And here's what James had to say about that in his book, James chapter 4, verse 6. James put it this way. He said, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. See, he opposes the proud. This means when we exercise pride, we put ourselves in the opposing end of the boxing ring with God. We go toe-to-toe with him. And when we're trying to push ahead in life or find the next step in growing our marriage or finding joy and satisfaction in the Lord and even just enjoying him and experiencing the abundant life that he came to give us, but when pride is present in our life, we shut the door on all of God's best for our life. You see, pride is access denied. But being teachable, that's what this door is all about. See, on the other side of this door is God's best for your life. I want you to think of all the ways that you're trying to grow and move forward and all that you're hoping God will accomplish in your life, all of his plans, all of his purposes, they're all on the other end of this door. But when we exercise pride, it's access denied. We can't get through. We can push all we want. We can try to kick the door down and force our way into it. But when we close our ears to listening to the Lord and to the wise people around us, when we close our hearts from learning from the Lord or the wise people around us, when we close our heart from living differently, we lock ourselves out of God's best. The very place we are desperately trying to get to, we are being the barrier between us and God's best. Pride is access denied, but being teachable opens the door. Our pride causes us to miss out on wisdom. It's the big picture. Our pride keeps us from knowing the right thing to do, the right way to do it, the right time, and the right reasons behind it. So, how do we grow then in being teachable? If pride is access denied and it keeps us out of God's best, how do we grow in becoming teachable people who are listening, learning, and living differently and following wisdom wherever it leads? Well, there's a few attributes of a teachable heart that we can all pray that the Lord would give us this morning. The first one is this, it's to be humble. Everybody say humble. Humble. Teachable people are humble, right? We know this, but teachable people know that humility is the starting point to teachability. Humility is the starting point to teachability because humble people know they have something to learn. Proverbs 11:2 puts it this way, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. When we're humble, we recognize that we can't learn anything new until we can admit that we don't already know everything. Now, we know this to be true. You can't teach a know-it-all anything, right? Can't teach a know-it-all. I have 4 beautiful, wonderful, amazing children. My oldest son, Joseph, is 7, and we have 2 beautiful twin girls, Jocelyn and Madeline, they're 5, and then we have a toddler, Maverick, and so he's not yet included in this, but so often I'll call my kids together and I'll say, kids, let me teach you something. Daddy wants to show you how to use a drill. And Joseph would say, oh, I know. Like, you know, you are 7 years old, you know how to use a drill. Like, let Daddy show you something new. No, I already know. Can't teach a know-it-all anything. If you're a guardian or a parent, you know this, but when we exercise humility, we get to experience everything that we don't yet know. See, humility keeps this door open to God's best. Teachable people are humble. Teachable people are hungry as well. They're hungry people. This means that we recognize that we don't want to be the smartest person in the room. We would much rather surround ourselves with the smartest people in the room. We know that knowledge is proud because it knows so much, but wisdom is humbled because it knows so little. And when we realize how little we know and how much we can gain from the people around us, it makes us hungry for wisdom. We want to learn. We want to grow. Learners are excited to learn. And so this means, hey, who do I know who I could go to this week and ask to mentor me, to teach me? Who can I go to for advice? Who can I invite into my life for counsel? Who are those figures in my life that I can go to that God may be wanting to use to get me to where he's ultimately leading me? Who are those people? How can I surround myself with them? How can I be more teachable? See, being hungry keeps this door open for God's best. It keeps the door open for wisdom. So teachable people, they're humble, they're hungry, they're also hopeful. Everybody say hopeful. They're hopeful. Here's why this is important. So often, God's wisdom comes to us through other people. God's wisdom comes to us, but through other people, and that's a problem. Because, let's be honest, people are flawed. People hurt our feelings, right? People, so often, we look and we say, I know you know something, but you don't care. And so I'm not gonna listen to anything you say. This is why we have the phrase, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. But so often, because of our relational deficits, we miss out on wisdom from other people and we write them off. So we would say, you're flawed and I see this sin or this inconsistency in your life, so I can learn nothing from you. Or you're inexperienced or you're younger and so I can learn nothing from you. Or you don't know me, you don't care about me, you don't know what I've been through, you don't know what I'm going through, you can't relate, so I can learn nothing from you. But teachable people are hopeful people and they see the best in people and they're not so interested in what's the bad that I can find in you that would repel me away from receiving wisdom. Instead, they press in and they say, what can I seek out about you that's good that I can cling to? What can I learn from you? What could you teach me? How could I grow in this situation? When faced with adversity, they know God can work everything together for good. God wants to teach me something about his character. There's something that I can learn in every situation, and there's something I can learn from every conversation because God's good, God's wisdom. He's a good father. He's always trying to teach me and lead me forward. So what can I get from this conversation? What is God trying to teach me right now? See, teachable people realized with being hopeful that we follow Jesus fully, totally, completely, but we follow people partially. In part. Here's what we mean by that. When it comes to our relationship with God, we follow Jesus completely. We obey all that Jesus has commanded, right? Every time we open the Bible, every time we gather like this, we want to hear as much wisdom as we can from the Lord and we apply it. We take our next step of obedience in faith because we trust God and we have a relationship with God and we know God has our best interests in mind. But while we follow Jesus wholly and completely, we follow people partially. So even if you're flawed, or even if you're inexperienced, or even if you seem to lack wisdom in some areas of your life, it doesn't mean I need to write you off completely and say, there's nothing I can learn from this person, right? I may not agree with you in everything. For example, we may disagree in politics, but maybe I see the way you parent your children, and I say, I love that. You have so much wisdom in the way that you've raised your kids, and I don't agree with this over here, but this I could learn from. So teach me, and this is the attitude of a humble person. We're not constantly repelled from other people. We're drawn to the good that we see in them because teachable people are hopeful. We can allow people to speak into our life regardless of their experience or flaws because we're seeking wisdom from the Lord through them. Teachable people also hold their tongue, right? They're humble, they're hungry, they're hopeful, and they hold their tongue. And this one's tough, right? Again, James says, be quick to hear, slow to speak. Proverbs would say, don't just be interested in airing your own opinions, but we hold our tongue because we know wisdom is the reward that we get for a lifetime of listening when we would have preferred to talk. Wisdom is the reward of a lifetime of listening when we would have preferred to talk, right? If we're always talking, we don't leave enough space to hear wisdom. We can't learn when we're too busy talking. So when we hold our tongue, we eventually have something worth saying. When we hold our tongue, we eventually have something worth saying because we're hearing wisdom from the Lord and from the people around us. So sometimes, maybe in the next conversation this week, where we would normally be tempted to talk, and then tune out when it's time to listen, we would say, okay, wait, pause. Let me hold my tongue. Let me listen. I can humble myself right now and put myself in the role of a student to learn something that I could apply to my life. Teachable people know when to hold their tongue. And then lastly, teachable people, they're hearers and they're doers. They're hearers of God's word, they're hearers of pure wisdom, and then they're also doers. Again, they listen, they learn, and then they live differently. This is the true test of teachability. If you want to know, am I a teachable person? You have to ask yourself, what did you do with the last piece of pure wisdom that you received? Right? We call this going deep here at WCC. And what we mean by that is going deep isn't so much learning more information or just copying the notes that are right here on my iPad onto your notes or just nodding our head and saying, wow, that's a really good point, right? The true test of teachability is what we do with wisdom. Going deep is applying what we just learned to our life, taking that next step, saying, if that's where wisdom's going, that's where I'm going to follow. And teachable people get this. They're hearers of God's word and they're doers of God's word. When we have a teachable spirit, we listen and we hear wisdom calling, and then we respond through action and through faith. Now, all of this reminds me of a very influential and important leader that we read about in scripture. And his name was Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, he was a well-respected Jewish leader, and he was the teacher of all of Israel. And now what we have to understand is to get to a position where Nicodemus was, he would have originally gone through school, being trained as a rabbi, and then he would have been kind of the best of the best and graduated to a sort of middle school of rabbi training. And then he would have been the best to best at that. So another rabbi would have noticed him and sort of taken him under his wing. And now Nicodemus has risen to the place where he is well-respected among all of his peers. He's the one that other people go to for advice. He's the one that everyone looks up to and says, this guy has wisdom. And yet Nicodemus, in John chapter 3, visits Jesus at night, Nick at night. And he comes to Jesus, and we read about this in John chapter 3. I'm going to read you a few verses. In John chapter 3, verse 1, we read, "Now there was a man named Nicodemus. He was a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. And after dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. 'Rabbi,' he said, 'we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you.' Jesus replied, 'I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God.'" Jesus cuts right to the chase. In verse 4, Nicodemus says, "What do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" He doesn't get it. "What do you want me to go back?" "No, you don't get it." Verse 5, Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you cannot explain how people are born of the Spirit." Nicodemus asks, "How are these things possible?" Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things." Put yourself in Nicodemus' shoes for a moment. The wise, all-knowing teacher of all of Israel, and here Jesus says, "You don't get it." See, to get to where Nicodemus was, he would have had to be teachable his whole life. But something tells me at this point in his life, he had forgotten that important piece. Because here he stands in front of Jesus, wisdom itself, and Jesus is showing him what it takes to be born again. And he's, I don't get it. But here, this important man did what I want to do, and that's he humbled himself. If anybody could have rejected wisdom and instruction, it was Nicodemus, but he didn't. Instead, he chose to be humble. He was humble enough to know that even as the teacher of Israel, he didn't have all the answers. He was hungry. He was hungry enough to come to Jesus at night to learn what God had to teach him through Jesus Christ. He was hopeful enough to allow Jesus, a younger rabbi who was disrespected among Nicodemus's peers, to speak truth and to speak wisdom into his life. It would have cost Nicodemus a lot to be found present with Jesus at night. And yet here he was. He was hopeful enough to seek the wisdom from Jesus. And thankfully, he held his tongue long enough for Jesus to eventually say the words of John 3:16 that we all know, that we all need so desperately. And in John 3:16, Jesus would say, "God so loves the world that he gave his son, that if we would just believe in him, we wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. That Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I'm so glad that Nicodemus held his tongue long enough and didn't just start talking, so we never got those words written down on paper. Nicodemus, he held his tongue. And through Nicodemus, here's what we see. To the best of our knowledge, he responded well. He listened, he learned, and he lived differently, because in the end of John's gospel, chapter 19, verse 39, we read that Nicodemus brought 75 pounds of burial spices and aloes to help bury the body of Jesus. He was there present when Jesus died on the cross. And while he was buried for 3 days before he rose from the dead in victory, Nicodemus was there. And here's what we learned through that. You know the best thing on the other side of this door? It's God's best for your life, and it's Jesus. See, Jesus is the way, he's the truth, he's the life. He is the way for us to have a relationship with God. And the worst thing that our pride could do is to hold us back from that gift. You remember James said, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor. He gives grace to the humble. You know, grace is something good that we don't deserve. It's a perfect gift. It's the favor of God that we could never earn. And it's salvation. It's rescue. And it's God's best for our life. See, our pride would say, I've never sinned. I don't need rescue. Maybe we think we're moral or immoral or religious or irreligious or spiritual or wherever we find ourselves. We all need Jesus, and we all need rescue, and we all need a savior. And this is the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came, that he lived a perfect life that we could never live, that he died on the cross in our place for our sin, and that 3 days later he rose from the dead to prove that it was all true, and that through faith in him, when we call upon the name of the Lord, he will forgive us of our sin, every sin we've ever committed, past, present, and future. He will welcome us into his family. He will adopt us as one of his children. He will make us new creations in Christ, where old things go away and everything becomes new. We get to then step into the abundant life that Jesus came to bring. And we experience God's best for our life. And this is what's on the other side of that door. This is what's at stake. This is what our pride would keep us from, is the gift of God. But being teachable, being humble like Nicodemus and saying, hey, Jesus, I don't get all of it. So tell me, what does it take to be saved? Well, God has spoken to us this morning. He's spoken to us through his son, Jesus. And his instruction to us, that God would so desire for us to listen and learn and live differently as a result of, is the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ, that he and he alone can save, can rescue, can ransom, can redeem, can bring you joy when you felt none, can give you hope when you felt hopeless, can make you new when you felt stuck, can move you forward when you feel like you've been going backwards. It's the grace of God. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And the good news is it's available to all of us if we would but humble ourselves and listen. Amen? So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna pray. I wanna pray for a few things. First of all, if we're here and we need wisdom, which I'm gonna count myself in and hopefully all of us, here's what scripture would teach us. If anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask of God, and he will give it freely, liberally, without reproach. In other words, without finding fault, without making us feel bad. If we ask for wisdom, God is eager to give it. And so we want to collectively ask God for wisdom. Wisdom for our lives, wisdom for our relationships, wisdom for our families, wisdom for our future, wisdom for the decisions we need to make. And we're going to ask for that together this morning. But then I also want to pray for anyone here who is yet to start a relationship with Jesus. And if you're here, maybe you're checking it out for the first time. Maybe you've been coming to church for a long time. Maybe you just feel distant in your relationship with God and you know something's off. But for whatever reason, you know this morning that there's nothing from stopping you from saying yes to Jesus. That regardless of what you've done or where you've been, right now you could just say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. We want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. So would you guys pray with me? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for the life that we have in you. Thank you so much for your grace towards us, that you show favor to the humble. And so we are humbling ourselves under your mighty hand this morning, Jesus, and we're asking for wisdom. Would you bless everyone here with the wisdom that comes from you, that pure wisdom from above? for their lives, for their marriages, for their families, for their future, all their hopes and dreams, all their questions, all their ambitions, all their hurts, all their pains? Lord, would you speak life and truth and wisdom over everyone in this room? And if there's anybody here this morning who's never made that decision to follow Jesus, I would just encourage you to pray this prayer in your heart. There's nothing magical about this prayer. We're not into incantation here. It's just a way for you to express your heart to God, to want to give your life to him. And if that's you and you want to say yes to Jesus, you want to start a relationship with Jesus, I just encourage you to pray this prayer in your heart. Just say, dear God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you gave your life for me on the cross, that you died in my place for my sin, and that you rose from the dead to give me life. I ask that you would forgive me of my sin. I ask that you would give me new life, and I wanna follow you from this day forward as best as I know how. And if that's you and you just prayed that prayer, here's what the Bible says about you. You are forgiven, you are new, you are loved, and you just started the most satisfying, incredible relationship with the one who created you, who knows you, who loves you. His name is Jesus. And he's got amazing plans for your life. He's gonna lead you now, he's gonna guide you, he's never gonna let go. He will never stop loving you, never stop pursuing you. He will always be enough for you. And we celebrate that with you, and we are so excited that you took that step. And so Jesus, would you just minister to all of our hearts, encourage us, remind us of your love, and be with us now. We love you. We trust you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.